100 years ago, the dark wizard Hollowell raised an army and tried to conquer the world. He was stopped by an unlikely hero, Sheriff Aesop Stormwood. As Hollowell died, he prophesied that he would be reborn twice more and rise again. Stormwood looked him in the eye and said if Hollowell did, his descendants would strike him down. Sheriff Aesop Stormwood went on to form Stormwood and Associates to make sure they'd be ready for Hollowell's returns, a private detective security and federally licensed magic users agency. 25 years ago, Hollowell returned for the first time, and a Stormwood made good on Aesop's promise. But the third coming of Hollowell may not be so far in the future. But the young Raz Stormwood just might know it's coming, and she plans to be ready. Our scene opens on the offices of Stormwood and Associates. It's gleaming glass and lacquered wood finished panels or whatever. It's giving a nice eyeline throughout the place. There are technically a few more people working here than in the previous episode, most of whom are extras and will never be spoken to. But it's a standard day. Babbitt, the goblin, is moving into his new office. It's not that exciting. The rest of our heroes are milling about when out of the elevator leading to the offices, two people enter. One is a police officer in uniform, and the other is an older man with a white beard wearing a black knit cap and wearing a black turtleneck and a black jacket, and they walk into the middle of the office, and you guys can see them talking to Kel at the front desk, because again, you can see everything through this place because there's no privacy. This is a terrible design for an office, but again, it looks great on television. And after a few moments, you all get a message from Kel asking you to meet him in the conference room. It's very exciting.
All right, well, I head over there. I was trying to get some papers organized in my office, and I dropped most of them. And I end up getting a little bit delayed as I rearrange them.
I scoot over there real quick.
I head over nonchalantly, because I was just like leaning back in my office chair playing Match 3 games on my phone when the message came through.
All right. So after you guys all finally gather in the conference room, you'd say obviously take seats around the table. Kel is just kind of shrugging there, looking like an idiot in his leather motorcycle jacket that he insists on wearing indoors, even though it's probably way too warm in here. And, these guys, this kind of a situation going on that the cops need our help with. And, so the police officer, who is a young blonde guy, says, "Hi, my name is, Matt, Officer Matt O'Riordan. And, we have a bit of a weird problem going on, and so my boss Johnson he told me to come and ask you guys for help. So you guys know the dragon Alcatraz? You know,
heard of it?
Lives on the island in the bay, big tourist attraction.
Dragon?
Yeah. So, you know, normally he lives on his island's protected, and you know, no one's allowed to actually go onto it, and it's, he usually just stays there, or, you know, because he's a sea dragon, you know, eats fish out of the bay, no big deal, and, you know, everybody loves it, you know, city mascot, whatever. I don't know how to explain what's going on here, and, this guy's just kind of stammering a little bit. Kel just rolls his eyes, picks up the remote control off of the conference room table and points it at one of the screens that's, you know, on the wall behind that he's usually used that previously for, like, displaying blueprints. Turns on the TV. So here we are on the Bay Bridge, and the Great Dragon Alcatraz has taken over the center of three lanes of traffic. He is, and so what you're seeing on TV is, a large red dragon sitting on top of the Bay Bridge, just kind of screaming. People are running from it, and it's just kind of being a problem. Kel turns off the TV. So, yeah. So this is kind of a problem. So normally, this is a weird behavior for a sea dragon. Shut up, kid. So the older guy just kind of... The dragon has gone insane, and there is nothing we can do about it, unless there's something we can do about it. God, can you just, like, let me talk? No. You're a blathering callow boy. The dragon has been driven off its island, and we need to know why. If there's a problem, they can solve it. If you need to find someone, they can do it. Stormwood & Associates is a detective, security, and federally licensed magic users agency. If you need help, they'll be there. But don't get in their way, or else you'll get caught in the eye of the storm. I was gonna get there.
You were taking forever. This elf had to turn the television on.
Okay, so,
that is going to break up people's commute. That is for certain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's the traffic is... So the problem is that the island, part of the protection on it is that... So we have to find out what's driven it off its island. Like, something's going on there. We've seen some lights on the island. We don't know what's happening. But, so, like, to get to the island, there's a magical barrier to prevent people from going. And we have this device, and this holds up a little kind of black thing. Like, if a magic user uses this, they can pass through and see what's going on. But the problem is that the city magician... is at a conference in Boston right now, and, like, his deputy is on paternity leave, and the feds can't send us someone for another day or two, so we don't have, like, we can't go and find out what's going on because the magical barrier is going to, you know, bounce us back. So Johnson's suggested that we, rather than wait a couple of days to get someone to do something, we would hire a private firm. That would be you.
Well, I have some history with magic. good thing dragons aren't terrifying to me at all.
And like, we're not gonna send you alone. So this guy with me, this is Seamus McConnell. My name is Seamus McConnell. I'm the only man alive who has ever escaped the island of Alcatraz. I helped install the magical barriers. I'm the only member of my team still alive. Isn't that just because most of them died of old age? I mean, like, those barriers have been up since the 50s. Shut up! I'm a survivor. You're just old. I'm a survivor.
He says he's a survivor.
And anyways, so Seamus here, call me Mr. McConnell. Mr. McConnell here, he's got a boat, and he's gonna take, he would take you out there and find out why the dragon left his island. And while we obviously, you know, we're the police, we're going to keep people away from the dragon. He seems to be sticking to the Bay Bridge. I don't think he wants to be, like, on, like, land with people. You know, we don't taste like fish.
Maybe you taste like fish, boy. A pale, flapping fish on the dirt. Slowly gasping for water. Unaware of its circumstances.
You're just really mean, man. I'm an adult.
I tug on Stormwood's shoulder. Is this for real? Is this a real job?
Yeah, for real.
We'll pay your normal fee, and it, you know, it's. Will you guys do this?
Yeah, we'll take care of it.
I'm gonna stay back here because I have no desire to go to an island. Also, I'm your tech guy, and a dragon warren is not exactly a place full of technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, I can't wait. Dragons.
You guys have fun.
I cannot believe we're doing The Rock.
I'm so glad we were able to get.
Yeah, you called it, like, that was my hope, like, yeah, it's, yeah, that was 100% yep. What I was going for when I described yeah. him.
Yes, you said bearded man with a black knit cap, and I was like, oh shit, it's Connery.
He's the only one left alive, just because it's been a long time.
Oh boy.
Hey.
Oh boy.
That was a fun opening. All right. So, obviously you guys are going to you know, suit up and, you know, stock up on appropriate gear.
Yep.
All right. So, I'll ask you for that what you're bringing with in just a moment. I'm just going to now open this up for the listeners. We open on a large speedboat, effectively, going through the San Ricardo Bay towards the island of Alcatraz. Not to be confused with the real world's Alcatraz Island, because this one is just the island that is lived on by Alcatraz, the dragon. Beautiful, you know, sweeping drone shots of this boat in which being driven by Seamus McConnell and our heroes are on board. What did you guys bring with you?
Got the, okay, as always, I have my telescoping wand in my back pocket. I kept some pieces of paper, actually a little notebook and pens, in a Ziploc bag, because I know how likely that would be to fall in the water, and I do not care for that kind of situation. I brought what's left of my dignity.
All right, Babbitt.
Standard clothes, backpack, multi-tool lockpick. Rope, grappling hook, carabiner, my phone, and a snorkel.
All right. What does Stormwood have on her?
The usual phone, cigs, keys, chapstick, mints, lighter.
They just mostly need to know tactical information.
Oh! I'll probably, have her, put on her Fitbit so she can get her steps in.
You have no idea how useful those mints could be fighting a dragon.
Well, the dragon's not on the island.
What kind of dragon?
Oh, I know. The dragon's not on the island, but you never know.
We're not going to fight. So I'm just going to promise you, since I'm not done writing the rules for dragons yet, you're not going to fight the dragon.
You're going to fight the military guys who are going to be launching VX gas. I know. I've seen the movie. I'm sure it's not that.
It's not that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. So, you have your gun, you have your grappling hook. That's sort of the stuff I need to know.
Gun, ammo, grappling hook gun, Fitbit so she can get her steps in. essentials.
All right, so we know what Stormwood has, we know what Bill has, we know what Babbitt has. We went through everybody, right? I'm not crazy. Okay, good.
Could be both.
All right. As you guys near the island, let's check to see what you notice. Roll me a d10.
One.
All right.
10.
Okay.
I'm clearly just focusing on my phone right now.
Got to re-roll if it fell on the floor.
4.
All right, so only Bill notices this. But it's pretty well camouflaged. But you can see as you approach the island, Bill, a couple of... There seem to be some boats. Apparently pretty well hidden because your two compatriots didn't see them at all. But there are a number of boats kind of concealed on the edge of the island.
Hey, guys, we're not the first ones on the island at all. There are boats. They're decently hidden, but they are there.
Those bastards.
Well hidden ones.
So, Bill, they are a. It's mostly large rafts, but with motors.
Okay, so they can hold quite a few.
Yes, they can. You are now approaching the magical barrier. You have the box, though, Bill.
Okay.
So. You're going to want to use that little doodad there, boy.
Okay. I've never used anything like this.
You just press the bloody button.
Oh, okay. I'm going to press the button.
All right. You press the button. You feel magic surge through you, not enough where it would use one of your spells for the day, but it's clear that it's effectively being powered by you. You see kind of a light shimmer
through the air as the boat passes through it.
Now I'm going to drop you off on the island, but I'm going to stay away. So when you're ready to go, just signal me with your ridiculous little earbuds that elven fellow gave me. And I'll return to the island and get you off the rock.
Wow,
thank you.
Really, really glad. At least we got a ride.
All right, so...
Bye.
Yeah, he drops you off on the shore and then rides back out. So he's still within the barrier, but yeah. You guys are standing on the shores of a rocky island. The water is cold. There is a kind of a pathway up, but for the most part, this is effectively a barren rock. And at the top of this hill, there is the entrance to what is, you just know this from, having been in San Ricardo long enough that the dragon Alcatraz lives in a series of caves in this island or under the island. And the entrance is kind of on the top of this, plateau on this rocky island.
Oh, jeez. This isn't exactly what I would call inviting.
I would. Let's snoop.
Alright, let's look around. And what's the worst that could happen?
Tramping all around the rocks and climbing on shit and just enjoying outside.
Are you gonna go up to like the top of the island where the entrance to the caves is?
Yeah, see the view from there at least.
Okay.
I want to stay a bit away from them, trying to stay undercover if I can.
All right, are you gonna try to hide?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So.
I'm following my boss, but I also had to bite my lip so I didn't scream because I saw a stink bug.
All right, so you're going to try to stay hidden as you ascend. Babbitt, roll me a d10. So I know what their score, what they have to beat is.
8.
8. Ooh, you hit well, boy. Yeah, okay, so... As the three of you kind of ascend to the upper level, as you get to the top of the rocks, Stormwind, you're going first, right?
I'm sure as heck not.
Yeah, I'm storming ahead.
All right, Stormwind, roll me a d10.
A 10.
All right, so you spot, before anything happens, you see that once you get to the top, there are four guys kind of in black military gear and helmets. They are not facing you, but they are like standing around the entrance to the caves.
That's unnerving.
Did you say that out loud, Phil?
I said it very quietly. But yes, very quietly.
So the four guys, as Phil apparently comes up, saying that's unnerving. Oof. They turn. And they now see you. Well, they don't see Babbitt, because they all failed their roll on his hide. But they now clearly see Stormwind, and they see Bill. So everybody roll initiative.
Yeah.
I stand by what I said. This is initiative a 10 or is it a... Which one do we use for initiative?
It's a D10. It's a D10 plus sweetness.
All right.
The only thing in the game that's not a D10 is your heal.
Yeah. And it's just because we didn't want you to... We didn't want it to be too miraculous.
11.
Okay, Bill at 11. Everybody else?
11.
What Stormwind has what? Again, I didn't hear you.
13.
13, okay. And you said 11, Babbitt?
Yep.
All right, let's get to note this down. Alright. And I just want I need to make sure I've got Bill and Babbitt in the right order. Bill, what's your sweetness?
My sweetness is 4.
And Babbitt, what's your sweetness?
5.
Okay, so Babbitt will go first. Between those two. Yeah, that way. All right, now I got to roll initiative for these guys. That guy did not roll well. All right, and lastly... Well then, okay. Stormwood, what's your sweetness?
3.
All right, you're going to go ahead of him just because he's fodder then. Because he's also got a 3 sweetness. All right. So, Stormwood, you are up first.
So, as a private investigator, one thing that I always have on me is my badge, my investigation, like, license
sure.
Badgy guy.
I'm willing to accept that.
So, I would like to basically, like, I think she keeps it in her wallet. So, I'm going to have her, like, grab her wallet, flash that badge really quickly.
Okay.
And say, I'm Stormwood. What are you doing here? Who are you? Try to intimidate some information out of them.
What are you going to do? Okay. So one of the guys is going to shoot at you.
Cool.
So let me... All right. What's your sweetness plus your level?
5.
All right. So he does, he misses you, but he takes a shot at you.
Cool. So they don't like to talk.
Babbitt, you're up. They don't know you're there yet, Babbitt.
All right, I'm going to sneak up to one of them and, slit his throat.
All right. So which one do you want to attack? They're kind of, there are two that are closer to,
nearest one to me that did not already attack.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, so roll me your attack of 1d10 plus your effective combat skill, which is going to be melee, plus your level.
Twelve.
Okay, that hits. And so roll me your damage of 1d10 plus your combat skill.
9.
He's dead. All right, so you are now visible, but you've killed one of them. And so, but you're also, because you killed him with you know, a melee weapon, you are right in the middle of three other guys.
Sure I am.
Bill, you're up.
All right. They have guns. I have a countermeasure. My new spell. It's a shield spell. I call it Kayak Eyes.
Is there a reference I'm not getting?
It's like row eyes, but it's not as nice.
I don't know what any of that means. It's just the phrase kayak eyes is funny.
Okay, let's go with it.
All right, let's remember. I just have to remember how shield works. It improves your fitness by 3 for the length of combat. Okay. All right. So that guy's dead before he got to take his turn, but one of the other guys, because the other two guys, you're between, because Babbitt, you're between, them, and, you're between, Bill and Stormwood and them, they're just gonna shoot at you, Babbitt. So, all right, so what's your sweetness plus level?
My dodge is 7.
7? Well, they're going to hit you.
Cool.
And what's your fitness plus level?
4.
And you are just such a badass that you just, like, take it.
Yep, right in the shoulder. I'm fine.
Yeah, you'd, like, you... Like, it must have grazed you or something, because, like, it, like, there's a superficial wound, but, like, you're just, like, you could still go, you know, swim 3 miles if goblins
sure.
can swim.
Yeah, we can.
All right. So that brings us to the other guy, who is also going to take a shot at you, because you're the, you know, closest guy to him. And what's your, Babbitt, what's your sweetness plus level again?
7.
Yeah, he's going to hit you. And, whew! What's your fitness plus level again?
4.
4? Okay. You take 7 damage. He rolled a 10 on damage roll. So you look like a total badass for a second. Like, one guy shoots you, you're like, that's nothing. The other guy shoots you, and you're just really messed up.
Yep.
Okay.
That tracks.
We are back to Stormwood.
I'm going to shoot them back.
All right, you're going to shoot the guy who shot you?
Yes. That'll be a 9.
9? Yeah, you definitely hit the guy. All right, so roll me damage. So 1d10 plus your effective combat skill. So 1d10 plus your guns.
6, 7.
7? You? Well, he's
yeah,
dead.
I had a... I upgraded my gun.
Yeah, because he's only his fitness plus level is only 4. So yeah, he did. All right, so that brings us to Babbitt. You've got what? You can take, like, what, 3 more damage?
3 more damage, and there's 2 more guys?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I'm gonna get out of there.
Okay. Bill, you're up.
I scamper
okay.
away.
Okay, you're going to run? All right, you run.
Yep.
Bill?
All right, going to use an attack spell, Psychic Flamethrower.
Okay, so that's going to do... explain your magic here.
As always, I take out my telescoping wand. I point it at my target. Those guys.
Yeah.
I do a flick of the wrist to fire off my psychic flamethrower.
All right, so it's a range attack. So your effective gun stat plus level plus 1d10.
All right, so whatever I roll, plus 3. Do. 4.
So you kill one of them, and the other guy's hurt.
Ha-ha!
I mean, because the good news
That wasn't even a good spell.
Well, these guys, they're fodder, so they only get 3 hit points. And they don't get to soak any damage on the magic attacks. So the other guy is down 1, and that's going to be his turn. And so he's going to take a shot at Bill. And what's your sweetness plus level?
My sweetness plus level, that would be 6.
He misses. Back to Stormwood. He rolled terribly.
I shoot that guy.
All right, so roll your attack.
+14.
Yeah, you hit him. All right, roll your damage. So it's 1d10 plus your guns.
11.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you only had to, like... So, 11 was... So 11 minus his soak, which is his fitness plus level, which is only 4 total. So, he's fodder, so only has 3 hit points, and he only had 2 left because he was hurt from... So he just kind of exploded. all right, so you have... So you've got 3 corpses and a pile of dust... As psychic flamethrower tends to incinerate people.
Were any of these guys, were any of these guys goblins or halflings or maybe even a dwarf?
They're all human.
They're all human, okay.
They're all human, every single one of them. Technically they could be elves. You can't tell because, you know, they're wearing stuff over their heads. But if they were elves, they'd be the buffest elves you've ever seen. Because elves tend to be thinner than humans, even though their height ranges are similar.
I'd like to loot the corpses. I want to see if they have any kind of identification as to, like, who they are.
All right, so are you going to investigate them?
Is that what you're
saying? Totally investigate them?
I will totally investigate them.
All right, so you go through the pockets and the kind of they've got pants covered in pouches and stuff, and so it's you find, you know, basic things like guns, you know, they've all got, the 3 that are still existing have, you know, pistol sidearms besides the larger rifles they were shooting at you with. And you find things like flashlights. They all have radios. They all have... only one of them had a wallet on him. And his name was Doug. His name was Doug Smith. And he lived in Hawkland. And he had $40 in his wallet. And a Visa gift card. That's about it.
I'm going to take a gun. Is there any extra ammo?
Yeah, they've all got extra clips, so if you need to grab...
Okay, I'll take an extra clip.
Yep.
I'll take an extra clip.
Yeah.
I think I'll take one of the rifles as well.
Okay.
And a flashlight.
All right.
Maybe I should also grab a flashlight. That seems like a good idea.
And a radio. All
right.
Kind of want that $40.
you take the $40 off of Doug Smith's corpse.
Yep.
And he's the one who kind of got exploded, so like there's no head left. That's the headless one. So it's but there's no like on these guys, there's no like company cards or logos or anything like that. It's pretty clear that whoever these guys are working for doesn't want to be easily identified. You also find a random matchbook in the pocket of one. It is for a dive bar somewhere in the in one of the kind of worst neighborhoods in Hawkland. It has a smudge of lipstick on the edge and a phone number.
I'm going to take that.
Okay. It's completely useless. If you
just
call
gonna
it, it's going to be the phone number for a pizza place. Someone gave him a fake number.
I can use pizza.
But like it,
pizza.
It is a book
can't
of matches.
We all use pizza?
It is a book of matches. So.
Yeah. I got six. Matches are handy.
Yeah.
Come on, boss. Do you really need matches that badly? One of your employees has a psychic flamethrower.
I'm not going to use your goddamn flamethrower to light a cigarette.
And Babbitt,
you're going to toast my face off.
Babbitt, you're getting a health point back because it's been a long enough scene.
So where is this entrance?
It's kind of this giant cave in front of you. It's like, so what it is in front of you, the earth kind of goes up at like a 45 degree angle, and it's kind of like a cave kind of going into the rocks, like downwards. Like it's the ground starts to descend into this cave at kind of also at a the ground's going up at 45 degrees, and then the cave's and then there's a large opening where the cave is going down at about a 45 degree angle.
Okay.
You can see as you look down into a cave that someone has strung a line of like electric powered lights are kind of being hung from the ceilings that obviously the great dragon Alcatraz did not hang itself.
They're not on.
They are.
Correct?
They're on.
Yeah. Cool.
There were four guys sitting out here. But there's clearly more. Those boats clearly could carry more people than four.
So that was only the beginning of our problems. Oh crap. Wait a minute. What if they have to call in to their bosses? What if their bosses call them? My moment of panic led to more murder and possibly a worse situation.
Shut up, Bill, as I cock my pistol and hold it up. We're going under.
Oh, boy.
So you guys gonna
head down into the cave.
All right. So you guys start to descend into this cave. This is a really big cave, I have to also mention. Like, this is clearly a large dragon with its wings folded up can easily crawl down this. Like, the dragon dug this cave out. As you descend, it slowly starts to kind of turn a corner. This thing is pretty big and pretty cavernous. As you begin to turn, it begins to slowly wrap around, and as you descend into the caves, you're kind of met with there's kind of a fork in the cavern system. As you're about probably, like, you've gone down about 100 feet. Like, it is, you are probably under the bay at this point.
Probably noticing some like fossilized corals on the walls.
Yeah, a lot of fish skeletons. Some dragon poop.
So, can we like we're at the fork. Can we just like see what's ahead on each fork?
So, the fork, so there this lighting system is kind of going down both ways. Like, there are lights hung both directions. But you don't know if that means there are people both ways or if the guys who went down here just had to explore everything themselves first. And so the.
But if I look down those hallways, like, there's no end to them. There's no, like, room at the end.
No, it's they both kind of curve off.
Oh.
What's going?
I don't get what these guys would want, like a dragon cave anyway.
As my dad always told me, good adventurers always go left.
What a
you
weird
must
thing
drive
to say.
He must have driven the people who designed supermarkets crazy.
He goes to the upscale ones.
Apparently.
And then, guys, do you think we should leave, like, a marker here to track our path? You don't think we're gonna get lost down here, do you?
Yeah, like, getting lost, that's a... I really don't want to get lost. At the same time, I also don't particularly want to telegraph to them that, hey, we're down here.
Babbitt, you get another health point back. Just to let you know.
Well, I mean, a simple mark on the wall. You said you've got a pen or pencil, right? Phil?
I've got my keys. Yes. I can scrape into the rock.
I have my pen with me.
Flip a coin, let's go somewhere.
Gotta pick a direction, boys.
Yeah, I'm saying left.
I'll follow wherever my boss leads.
All right. As you start to head left...
I, too, will follow discreetly.
All right. Are you going to hide, Babbitt?
Yep. Here we go. It is a 4.
Oh, geez. Poor bastard.
That's not good.
That's not great.
Nope.
All right, let me, I'm kind of pre-rolling some stuff right now.
Sure.
Because I let the rolls determine what was going to happen for this part. Okay. It's a lot. What's your health at right now, Babbitt?
5.
5? Okay. This is going to be great. This is going to be great. So as you guys descend down the left passage, you eventually start to hear voices. You eventually hear a bunch of people just chatting. And,
about nothing.
Yeah, well, you can't quite make out what they're talking about, but you can hear just kind of the echoes of conversation.
Oh, boy.
And it sounds like more than just two people.
Oh, it's a lot more than two. It's you hear, like, occasionally you hear, like, raucous laughter.
Ooh. This is probably fine.
I'm staying well behind these other two.
Yeah, I'm going to sidle up against the wall as I move down the cave corridor. Like the voices.
All right.
I want to hear what they're saying.
All right. So as you get closer, You hear just conversations. Well, you know, if we were, I'm just saying, like, for the amount of work we're doing, we should be getting paid better. Bobby, do not bring this up. Do not bring this up, Bobby. We are making more than enough for this kind. These are not the kind of people you negotiate your wages with. Look, I'm just saying that we should have better sandwiches. Better sandwiches for this kind of, like, you know, like, we are taking our break underground in a cave, man. Like, sandwiches would be nice. that aren't peanut. I have a peanut allergy. I can't eat any of these. You know, Bobby, you were just. Why don't you just pack a lunch, Bobby? Why don't you just pack a lunch? Where am I supposed to carry? What am I supposed to, like, carry a paper bag with me? I don't know. You're asking them to bring coolers of food onto a covert operation. Well, yeah, whatever. That's what you're overhearing. And meanwhile, there are more conversations also happening, but you can't quite make out what it is.
Man, whoever this highfalutin dude is, he sure picked winners.
Yeah, this is a lot less scary, and I feel a little bit worse about the whole murder thing.
Babbitt, I'm going to give you back another health point because I feel bad.
I suggest we withdraw and check out the other side as well now.
That seems like a really good idea. I don't particularly want to interrupt these guys' lunches lest they shoot us again.
All right. We'll do it. Let's go back.
All right. So you guys go back up the hallway of the hallway, the core of the caverns, and you get back to the fork. And all right. Lucky for you, apparently nobody's up there right now.
Yay.
I was pre-prepping a whole combat if you guys had decided to keep going. There's a lot of guys down there. Alright, so you start going down the right passage. Okay. Yeah, well, that's not great for you guys either. You guys are heading down this way, and you kind of hear something down the cavern. Just movement, rustling, noise.
I'm nervous.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I guess we head towards it.
Okay, so what you also hear as you approach this way is the sound of a generator.
I wonder what would happen if we turned off the generator for a hot minute.
Well, the lights would go out.
And that room full of people start going nuts.
They probably have flashlights.
I mean, didn't we steal flashlights from those guys?
I know I did. I don't think anyone else said that they did.
I thought Bill had one.
Yeah, I stole a flashlight.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And I have a flashlight on my phone.
Yeah. I have a snorkel.
Excellent. You can snorkel someone with that.
Yeah.
You can see. All right, so roll me a d10.
Eight.
Wow. One.
Four.
All right, so Babbitt's the only observant one. All you had to do was beat a. You had to beat a six. So
I finally put away my phone.
So, Babbitt, you notice that also there's kind of some movement on the shadows up ahead, like, as these tunnels are all kind of curving, so, because, you know, they're made by a dragon,
sure.
Who's just kind of burrowing its way under the ground. You can see, though, kind of, like, movements of shadows on the wall, so you know that there's something around, like, kind of the next curve. And you're still hiding right now, right?
Sure am.
Okay.
Relay this information?
Oh, yeah. There's some movement, shadows on the wall, so be careful.
I am doing... I'm doing the thing with the gun, where if the, like, the police go into like a building or something, they have it tactically ready.
Okay. The rifle or your pistol?
Pistol.
Okay. I mean, this is super awesome action here, so it doesn't really make a statistical difference.
No, I could be... I could dual wield them if I really wanted to.
This is,
it still would not make a
difference. It still would not make a difference. It would just look cooler.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's an action movie. I gotta do the coolest thing possible.
Very true. Alright, so... What do you guys want to do?
Not die.
Yeah, well... It seems like there's less people this way, so I think moving forward this way is our best bet.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Moving forward around the court.
All right. So, obviously no one here plays Metal Gear Solid on stealth mode, like, stealth-focused.
excuse you, if, I don't think Bill would know how...
So what order are you guys going around the corner?
I'm last.
Stormwood first.
Bill in the middle, okay. Babbitt, what's your... How hurt are you right now?
Four now.
So you're
I'm fine.
I'm going to give you one more back.
Okay. This was a really long corridor.
Well, so Stormwood, as you casually apparently walk around the corner, what you see are eight guys with guns standing around a generator.
Okay.
They look straight at you.
Yep.
Roll initiative. I'm Trey Dorn, and I was your game master this session. Our players were Gen Proc as Raz Stormwood, Kyle Johnson as Babbitt, and Nick Izumi as Bill. I also obviously played Kel. Stormwood & Associates is a production of Nerd & Tie. You can find more information at nerdandtie.com, along with our social media is at Twitter, Nerd & Tie, Tumblr, Nerd & Tie, Facebook / Nerd & Tie. And remember, you can subscribe to this with any place that has podcasts, probably. We'll be on iTunes by the time it's released, maybe, who knows. But the RSS feed's always out there. And to be continued.